Welcome to the healer's house. I have a gift for you. First time. It's about your Bible, how to know your Bible. And for you. Also about how to know your Bible. And it just has a little chapter, as it were, on every book of the Bible to have a little bit of an understanding about what the books of the Bible are about. I hope you enjoy it. Amen. Gift to you from us here at the Healer's. That'll be good. Yeah. From us here at the Healer's House, we want to welcome you and good to see you. Been thinking about you. Doing okay? Good. Good. Good to see all of you. Been thinking about some of you and asking about some of you. And I'm glad that we're all here together today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Been a wonderful service.
Thank you for my book.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Make sure, if you're here for the first time, make sure you fill out the card and the welcome packet, because I'd like to be in touch with you some more. Got some more stuff, too. Got some more stuff. Lots of stuff we got. Amen?
Amen.
Your God is a God of abundance, isn't he?
Yes.
Lots of stuff.
Thank you, Lord.
A lot of stuff. And like to be able to get it to you. We had we've had such a wonderful time already this morning.
Amen.
In fellowship, in worship, in praise, and even in the announcements, isn't it? Even in the announcements. And testimonies about experience and growth and transformation and strength and development. Isn't that right?
Amen.
God is good.
Yes, he is.
And he certainly is doing a work in the lives of those that submit and surrender themselves to him. He's doing a work. God in the midst of us is mighty. God in the midst of us is mighty. And all we have to do is to avail ourselves. Be available for his power, for his might, to work on the inside of us. All we have to do is avail ourselves.
Amen.
It is my goal, and very high on my priority list, for a church fellowship to be a safe and warm place where people can grow. Now, don't get me wrong, because church also is challenging.
Yes.
Because if you're going to not leave this place the same, it means that you're going to be challenged. Isn't that right?
Yes. Amen.
If you're going to not leave the same, that means that you're going to come into confrontation with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that's what the Bible does. That's what the Word of God does. That's what Jesus did. And that's what I'm responsible for. Mm-hmm. Bringing you the challenge. Now, you know, we want to encourage you too. You know,
Amen.
We want to encourage you. But sometimes we get into the way of thinking that church is only a place where you get pat on the back and you get stroked and everything's good and everything's going to be all right and God's going to do this and God's going to do that. And God's saying in his word that you need to do something.
Amen.
That you need to do something.
Amen.
You do nothing, I can guarantee you, nothing happens.
That's right.
I can guarantee you, nothing happens. We used to say, nothing happens until something happens. Is that right? Nothing happens until something happens. In order for something different to happen, we've got to open our hearts, open our thinking, and open our understanding to allow God to bring us truth in the inward parts so that we can adjust and respond and make changes in our life, even in our thinking. We can't even make changes sometimes in our behavior until we've made changes in our thinking. Isn't that right?
That's yes. Right.
Amen.
We spend a lot of time with our children.
trying to change their behavior, don't we?
Yes.
A lot of times, boys are different from girls. You know, it's like, you know, my girls, they're you know, perfectly behaved, but my boys, they're just all over the place. We had that conversation one time, didn't we? Boys are different from girls, and they're rambunctious, and they want to jump around, roll around on the floor. And it's like, well, I don't even know. God made boys. God made pretty little girls to sit in the chair and fold across their legs and fold their arms. And he made boys, and they're adventurous, and they're different, and they're rambunctious, and they're loud, and they're, right? Boys, right? Don't be afraid. They ain't gonna get you. Girls look nicely, folded arms. Not boys. God made us all. He made the differentness of boys. He made it. He liked it. Like God said, yeah, I like that. I like the pretty little girls too. Don't get me wrong. But I like the adventurous. It's the boys that run it and jump it, and they got all their clothes, their Sunday clothes, and they all a mess. God loves it. That's why it doesn't bother me so much, you know. Sometimes the little boys in church, you know, they can't sit there. They want to move, you know. It's like, why can't you sit down and be quiet? I'm a boy. It's okay. Right? It's okay. I'm a boy. Don't you big boys think I'm giving you something? You hear me, Tay? Yeah. I'm just expressing some of the wonder in the creation of God. And I know some of you mothers wonder, but it's God. But sometimes we try to manage behavior without really affecting motivation. You know what I'm saying? We just want them to do right, you know. And really deep down inside, they have no idea what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Our children, I'm talking about.
Amen.
You know, our children. And largely speaking, looking at the parent relationship with children and the child's relationship with a parent, it really does yield a lot of education for us and spiritual information about our relationship with God and His relationship with us. It really, you know, Jesus often spoke in parables, often. Most of His teachings were in parables. In other words, He used just, you know, earthly stories that, you know, we say a parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning, you know. Earthly story, just very natural, normal things that we know about in order to explain very deep spiritual concepts. And in one of them, the Bible tells us that marriage is like Jesus' relationship with the church. You know, so it's like, okay, marriage, husband, wife, children, you know, Jesus is the head, and the church is His bride. He's the husbandman. He's the husband, you know, the bridegroom, the Bible says, and the church is His bride, and then all the little childrens that come out of it, you know, the regeneration of children, the seed that comes out of His relationship with the church. There should be growth. You know, inward and outward growth. There should be growth on the inside. You know, that we should be growing. We were talking about this when? Yesterday. We were talking about this yesterday. We had a meeting after the meeting. The girls had a meeting. Then they let me come in and talk after the meeting was over. They invite me to their meeting. Papa Joe, they didn't let me come to the girls' meeting. I wanted to know what they talking about, but they won't let me come. But after the meeting, we had a separate session, and we were talking about how in our spiritual life, we should be growing. It's like, no, we shouldn't be, you know, we shouldn't be like going over that chapter again, you know. We shouldn't be going through them same things we went through last year. This year should be, we should be standing on the platform of last year, all the things we learned. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to be repeating that grade again, right? So the mathematics that you learned in one grade now becomes algebra, right? You do algebra yet? You do algebra? You know, but you had to learn the fundamental basics of mathematics first, right? Because otherwise you wouldn't even be able to X's and A's and all that stuff. It wouldn't make any sense, would it? But you understand it now because you understand the fundamentals of mathematics, right? 1 + 1 = 2, right? And so you can say A plus, if A plus 1 equals 2, what's A?
1.
1, right? See, fundamentals of math helps you to understand algebra. But we try sometimes to manage motivation, manage behavior without impacting motivation. And truly speaking, we have to get to motivation. And even in our own spiritual lives, we've got to look at motivation. I have recently we've been talking about the promises of God and the blessings of God. We started with a few lessons about the curse, remember? Were you here? A few lessons about the curse. We talked about a few verses about what God says about punishment and, you know, curses on our lives and why they're there and what would happen. We actually learned that if you don't listen to God, then more things happen, right? Not because that's what God wants. What God wants, what God desires is for good things to happen to you. But what he, just like you tell your children, if you reach up there and put your hand on the fire, you're going to get burned, right? Doesn't it what you tell your children? Don't touch that. Now some of us boys, girls too? I don't know about girls. I know a lot about boys, though. Some of us reach up and touch it anyway, right? You know, pay attention to what mommy says. They reach up and touch anyway, right? And they reach up and touch it and pull the hand back, right? Because it is hot and it burns, right? And so we learn sometimes by disobedience. Now, some people don't learn by disobedience. Some people think, well, maybe it was the way I put my hand up there. And maybe if I could just put my hand up there into the fire from a different angle, maybe it wouldn't burn. That's how we do. You know, we think that the commandments of God, the statutes, the judgments of God, well, maybe that wasn't for me. That was for the children of Israel. That was for Moses and them back then. But that can't be for me. And so we human beings, I'm talking about, human beings, male and female this time I'm talking about, we try to figure out a way we can do it anyhow. And in our lessons, we learn that when you don't learn the first time, it gets worse. Now, I know that you know people in your life, not you, but you know some people in your life who have not learned the first time and gone and done it again, and things have gotten worse and worse and worse in their life. Haven't you known people like that? Not none of us. Other people we're talking about, right? Yeah. We keep doing the same thing, just hoping, kind of like hoping something different would happen, right? Come to find out that God is right. I mean, you know, I remember 6-7 years ago, I ministered to a young lady, and my wife and I ministered salvation to her, and she was gravely ill, literally gravely ill, and we ministered salvation to her on her deathbed. We ministered salvation, and she got saved, and she was Really, in reality, she was transitioning between earth and heaven. That's exactly what she was doing, transitioning at the time between earth and heaven. And she told me that since she got saved, which was like a couple of days ago, that she's been taking walks with God. That's what she told me. She's been taking walks with God. She said, I wish these doctors would leave me alone, because I'm walking and talking with God, and all of a sudden they interrupt our conversation. That's what she told me. And she said, Pastor Larry, I come to realize that I don't spend my whole life chasing after the wrong things. That's what she told me. I don't spend my whole life making the wrong decisions, chasing after the wrong things. She just got salvation. She'd been introduced to the gospel a little bit, but hadn't made a quality commitment to Christ. But on that a Sunday, I believe we left here after church to go to the hospital to visit her. I got a call that she was in the hospital. I went to the hospital to visit her and ministered salvation to her. She received salvation. It was on a Sunday. On that Friday, I went to see her. Left work that Friday and went to the hospital to visit her. And I think I'd gone to 2 or 3 times during the week and read scriptures to her, read Psalms, prayed with her and everything. But on that Friday evening when I left work and went to see her, that's when she told me she spent her whole life chasing after the wrong things. We do that, don't we? We do that. Spend our whole lives. In our whole life. So we learned a few lessons about how things could really get worse and just keep getting worse and keep getting worse until we make quality decisions, wise choices based on motivation, not just based on right doing. You know, in my heart I have so much I want to share with you today, but you know, as usual, like I say, you never run out of, when you study the word, you never run out of material, you just run out of time. You don't run out of material. I know there's a Super Bowl this afternoon sometime. What time is the game?
6:30.
Oh, I have plenty of time.
Yes!
But you run out of time of a typical attention span. You understand what I'm saying? People have an attention span, so I recognize that. And I've got so much I'd like to share, but I can't but introduce a topic today. Is that okay?
Amen.
Can't but introduce a topic today, and we'll come back and treat it. I love the Word of God, because when you study the Word of God, it's like God, you know, when you study the Word, that little book you guys go help you to get some breadth and scope. But when you study the Word of God, it's like God would introduce a topic to you. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about this just a little earlier, how God introduces a topic, you know, and it's sitting right here in my thinking. And then he'll give me a little trail going that way. And I think that's the way to go. And then he stops and he says, no, but I got one up here too. Got another trail up here. And he gives me another one down here. And that's got the little entrails and different things, you know. It's like taking a trip. Studying the Bible is like taking a trip. And you know, if you're flying, boom, you're just there, right? But if you're driving in your car, and on the way, I remember years ago, I took my sons to Florida. We drove. You know, and they were very, very, very little. They were probably like 3 and 4 or 4 and 5 or something. And I determined that this was going to be an easy trip. In other words, I wasn't going to be like dashing to go from Baltimore to Orlando, that we were going to just kind of be free and just, you know. So we were in the car driving, and they would say, "Dad, look at that." And I would say, "What?" And they would say, "Look over there." I said, "Well, let's go see what it is." And so we would get off the road and, you know, find the exit, and we'll go and see it. And we just had a ball. Just had a wonderful time. You know, took us forever to get to Florida. Took us forever, you know, to get to Florida. But, you know, we just had a wonderful time. Because, it, you know, I was going to say it wasn't about the destination, but it was about the destination, because we were going to Disney. So, you know, it was about the destination too, but I wanted to make it about the journey. You know, I wanted to, I didn't want to be, you know, y'all sit down and shut up. We got to drive, you know, sit down, you know. I just wanted to make, I just have a wonderful time, a free and expressive time. And we did. We just had a wonderful time. They're in their 30s now, and they still remember, you know. They still remember, because it was, we packed lunches, and we stopped and sat beside the road at picnic benches, and we went to places and stayed in hotels. It took us forever to get to Florida. Now, you can drive to Florida one day, right? But it took us like 2 days, because we just took our time, you know. Just took our time. I remember seeing signs on the highway for this place called South of the Border. You seen it?
Yeah.
Somebody seen it? You know, and they say, "Dad, what's south of the border?" "I don't know." And we see another sign. "What's that?" "South of the border, 25 miles. South of the border, 20 miles. South of the border, 15 miles. I said, "Well, we're going to go there and see what it's all about, you know. We're going to go see, you know." We went, and it was just a fun place for kids, you know, for adults too. But studying the Bible is like that, you know. There is a destination, you know. And most often, you know, God is trying to get through to you some specific things, like as in the destination, but it's a fun journey. The Word of God is a fun journey, you know, because there's so many good things along the way, even towards the destination that you're going. Well, in your bulletin, there is a statement made that Jesus taught a radical orientation towards righteousness. It's right at the bottom of your bulletin. Jesus was a radical. He certainly was radical to his day. You find Christianity to be a common part of your culture and your life. But it was not to the day that Jesus lived in. And so the doctrine that he taught was very, very, very radical. It was Jesus in Matthew 5:48 who said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Be perfect. We also know that the scripture says, "Be holy." Right? Scripture tells us to be holy, even. God says in Deuteronomy, "Even as I am holy." And even in the New Testament, it tells us to be holy. So God's telling us to be perfect and to be holy. Like, okay, how are you going to do that? Like, what's your plan for doing that? Righteousness. Righteousness is right doing. Doing the right thing every time. No, holiness though is having the right motivation. having a divine motivation. And so in my mind, I have two examples right now of right doing. Paul, the apostle, Bible says that he was zealous for God. He was zealous for God and for the law of God and the word of God. He was so zealous for God, for righteousness, that he was finding every Christian he can find and killing them. And as far as he was concerned, he was right doing. Just didn't have the right motivation. Didn't have the right motivation. Another example is Phineas. Gentleman by the name of Phineas, who was also zealous. He also killed somebody. There were people in that day who had gone so far as to commit adultery right in the church. And the Bible says Phineas was so zealous for the way of God, the word of God, and that evil did not spread throughout the congregation, that he drove a spear right through them while they're in the midst of the act. And God honored him. And God said it stayed his righteous anger because of the zeal, the righteousness of Phineas to put a stop to ungodliness that would they had gone so far as to be able to do it right in the church. So zeal, we typically say zeal without knowledge. Have you heard that term before? Zeal without knowledge. Somebody could be zealous, but they just don't know what they're doing. But they're zealous. You know, people could be excited and, you know, and just mess it up because they don't have the right motivation. Gotta have the right motivation. Gotta have the right motivation. Well, the right motivation, when I say the right motivation, I should be saying divine motivation. Divine motivation is not something that you can acquire on your own. Divine motivation, and I'm talking about holiness and holy motivation, is not something that you can like, you know, conjure up, or that you can, you know, you can just drum yourself up to be holy. You can't do that. You can't do that. Divine motivation is
divine.
It's divine. So it has to. Divine motivation has to come from God. And we spend a lot of our energy, you know, and managing ourselves and even managing others and in our situations with others, we spend a lot of our energy trying to manage behavior. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to manage behavior. We're trying to manage the outcome. You know? Kind of like, it comes to mind that it's kind of like a putting a filter on the tap because the water's dirty. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The source is not pure, and so we try to filter it And that's probably a good thing. You don't be drinking any dirty water, right? It's a good thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But I'm saying, wouldn't it be better if it were purified at the source?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Some of them little spingles and spangles might get through the filter, you know. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be better if the water was pure from its source?
Yes.
And so there is, you know, in we got a number of verses we're going to get to, Bible verses we're going to get to, but in the book of Romans, you're probably familiar with the book of Romans where Paul says, that what I would do, I do not, and that I don't want to do, I do. It's like, oh, wretched man that I am. Who can deliver me from this body of death? He exclaims, his exclamation is about the fact that he can't seem to bring himself to do the right things all the time. And that he knows he should do right. That's in Romans chapter 7 at the end of the chapter. But yet he sees that sometimes he's doing the wrong thing. He said, you know, what's going on here? Then in Romans chapter 8, the answer comes. Now there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, them that are born of the Spirit and not of the flesh. And that is the answer. That is the answer to our motivation problem. Our motivation problem is that we often try to motivate ourselves and others by a work of the flesh. It's a work of the flesh. The Bible tells us clearly that the work of the flesh is going to die. That it's carnal, that it's corruption. So you can produce good works just like Paul was doing. He was doing right doing, but it was from an internal state that was not divine. He was trying to protect the Jewish heritage and the Jewish culture. And God said, you got to do that for me. You got to do that for me. He said, I'm doing a new thing. And you're stuck in the old thing. And so God did it. He provided for us the gift. It's you know, because you can't like get it on your own. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, it's not something that you can say, okay, I'm going to pray for 15 days and by the 16th day I'll have it. You know, I'm going to go out and feed all the poor. And when I finish doing that, those good works, then I should have it by then, you know. I'm going to fast. That's what I'll do. Afflict my body. And when I finish, I'll be good. You know, I'm going to go to church every Sunday. And we got a whole list, a checklist of things, and if we do them, we'll get it. And we do all them things, and we still don't have it. Now, you know, good things are good. Not all the time, though. Because like with Paul's case, we can see clearly, right? Good things from a bad motivation are not working. Jesus in Matthew 5. In Matthew 5, Jesus taught what I call a radical orientation towards righteousness. He set the standard. He elevated everything. He said, you know, it's not about whether or not you committed adultery. He said, if you just think about it in your heart, you've already done it. He said, it's not about whether you killed somebody. He said, if that's what's, you know, coming up in your heart, you're just being angry with somebody, then you may as well have killed them.
Amen.
I said, oh man, Like, we messed up. We in trouble. We is in trouble. We is.
We is in trouble.
We in trouble. If that's all it takes, if all it takes is me thinking about something to be have already done it in Jesus' eyes, this is Jesus' radical orientation towards righteousness and holiness. He said, well, you got to be thinking about it, and you know, far as heaven is concerned, as far as spirituality is concerned, you don't have to run the knife through his heart. Jesus went on to say, this is all in Matthew 5, Jesus went on to say, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. Radical. What is he saying? Saying if I see something I shouldn't be looking at, take my eye out? But the thing is, it's like when you see something, you see it with both eyes. You don't see something with one eye and not the other eye don't work. I only saw it with his eye. What is he saying? If your eye offend you, pluck it out. He's saying, if the way you're seeing things, how you look at things, if how you look at things is interfering with your relationship with God, then should you dump your relationship with God? Or should you dump how you see things? You see, we've got the opinion that, well, the way I see it, we got the opinion like there's some value in the way I see it. Jesus said, pluck it out. If the way you see it Bible tells us very clearly in Isaiah 55 and verses 8 and 9 that God's got a way.
Yes.
God has got a way. He says, God's got a way. Now, you all can probably quote this one by now, right? Huh? You can quote it by now? God's got a way and you got a way. And his way is way different from your way, right?
Yeah. Way
different. That's my paraphrase version. Of Isaiah 55:8-9. That's my parable. And they know it by now because I don't say it so many times. God's got a way and you got a way. He says, as far as the heavens are from the earth, are his way from your way. Whose way we going to dump? Do you think it's any degree of possibility that you got some ways right now that are not like, you think possibly? Maybe them other people got them, right? Think you got some ways that are not like God's ways? Do you think so?
Mercy.
Well, Jesus is saying, pluck it out. Pluck it out. He said, it would be better for you to go to heaven with one eye than have two eyes and be cast into hell. Okay? We all got our own ways. Got our way, you know, the way I see it. We got the head, the arms on the you know, we got the whole attitude, don't we?
Yeah.
Got the whole attitude.
Mm.
said, pluck it out. He said, if your right hand offends you, your right hand, cut it off. If what you touching, what you handling, how you do things, the right hand, the things you think are right, I have been seeing this in the context for one for instance. Okay, I've been seeing this in the context of forgiveness and unforgiveness. You know, because I do recognize that our relationships with each other, especially with close loved ones and things, our relationships with each other is often a place where there's real difficulty, you know what I mean? Real difficulty,
yes,
is in the place of close relationship, because truth be told, human beings are very, very, very hard people to live with. Yes, they are hard to live with. Human beings. The dog, whatever you say is okay. They say, hit him over the head with the newspaper, kick the dog or whatever, he'll come. Master, please love me, please. Not human beings, No. And so, consequently, the places where we have the most difficulty in producing righteousness and holiness is in our close relationships. We can love God and worship God, and God is cool, Jesus is great. But my husband. And so that is the place. That is the place. That's the wine press, as it were. That's the threshing floor where the winnowing takes place. That's the place where you really, really see what kind of religion you got up in you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's the place. Interesting thing to me. You would think that it would be them other people over there that are far away. But it's very often parents and children, husbands and wives, and grandparents and in-laws. It's very often those very close dynamics where love is taking place, that's also a place of great difficulty in our experience. And so I see holiness, divine motivation, as it were, taking place. It has to be divine motivation, because otherwise we're speaking to each other out of righteousness. Sometimes we do, We speak to each other out of righteousness. Sometimes it's rightness. I'm right and you're wrong. And God taught me years ago that rightness is not necessarily righteousness. That you can be right and unrighteous at the same time. And he showed me that clearly with regard to unforgiveness. That I could be right that you hurt me, but I can be unrighteous if I don't forgive you. You see? Because forgiveness is divine. God is the one who instituted forgiveness.
Yes.
God did. It's godly to forgive. The truth is that we all injure one another from time to time, you know? And Jesus said, offenses must come. He said, you know, you're going to offend one another. Offenses are going to come. But Jesus taught very clearly in Matthew 18, as well as Matthew 5 and 6, Jesus taught very clearly that wherever you are in the offense contingent, whether you're the offending party or you have been offended, it doesn't matter where you sit. Jesus taught, this radical teacher that we have, Jesus taught, wherever you are, you have responsibility.
Yeah.
You can't say, well, he hurt me, so I'm not going. And you can't say, well, you know, I hurt you, but I didn't mean to do it, and so you should be okay because I didn't mean it. Wherever we are, we have responsibility. Bible teaches us clearly that Jesus said that if you're coming to worship me, and it comes to your mind that somebody's offended with you, leave your gift on the altar and go and be reconciled with your brother. You have responsibility.
Yes.
And he also taught that if you are the offended party, that you have been offended, you would think, well, I'm the one that's offended. I didn't do nothing. Jesus says, go to your brother. If you would win your brother, he is an offender. He's in a bad place because he's an offender. Go to your brother and attempt to win him. That is your responsibility. Go once, go twice, go three times. There's a whole process for how to do that in Matthew 18. You can't do that. You can't do spiritual things without divine and spiritual motivation. There is no motivation to do that. There's nothing. Nothing in you wants to do. You can't produce that.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Right.
You don't want to do that? To the person that hurt me? No. Stay as far away from me as possible, right? Everything inside me repels against that, unless there's a divine birth. And that divine birth is the birth of the Holy Spirit inside you. Only God can place the Holy Spirit inside you. Only God. You have to desire him. You have to desire him. If you see yourself in a hard place where you can't repent or you can't forgive, you need a new birth. You need a new birth. Because it's only the birth of the Holy Ghost inside you. That is the nature of God. That's the nature of God being birthed in the side of you, giving you a capacity that you don't have.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? You don't, because you can't make that up. You know, you could kind of, you know how maybe you don't know this, but you've probably heard of people who can act like they forgive people. Because they know this is the rest. I'm not you. I know you got all this covered. But you know, you can act like you forgive people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You can act like it. Or you could think, have you ever like thought you forgave somebody? Mm-hmm. Thought you forgave them.
Yep. Say you heard their name. Oh my goodness.
You ever?
Yes.
And then, you know, and then they showed up somewhere where you was at.
Yes.
You can forgive them as long as they don't show up.
Yes.
As long as they don't show up nowhere, they forgiven. Yes. Don't be coming up around here, you know.
Yes.
And they show up and you realize that it's still in you. Mm-hmm. Eating you like a cancer. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is divine. And only God can accomplish forgiveness. But he's the originator of it, you know? He's the originator of forgiveness. He can do it. He's good, like, you know, he's pretty good at it. He's good at it. So for you to accomplish, I use the word accomplish forgiveness, and I use that entirely because I recognize that forgiveness is a kind of a steppy kind of thing where you got to step your way through it. You know, you got to kind of, you got to walk a road, and sometimes it takes a few steps, you know, to really accomplish it. It's one of those things, but it's an absolute requirement. It's an absolute requirement. So it's not optional. Well, let me see if I can forgive you. See. This. This has to be birthed inside. It has to be born inside you. And I'm only using forgiveness as an example of many things. You know, we can't even really understand the things of God without the Spirit of God being birthed inside of us. The Bible tells us that clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. A carnal man can't understand spiritual things. Oh no. Oh no. So what has to happen is a desire has to be created inside of you. And that desire often comes through the Word of God. A desire that says, God is righteous, I'm not. God is holy, I'm not. A desire, you know, that gap causes a desire. You know, God is forgiving, I'm not. That gap causes a desire. Say, God, how can I get righteousness? How can I get holiness? How can I get to be forgiving like you? A gap. One answer. You need an impartation. You need an impartation. And that impartation only comes from God. It only comes from God. And it only comes by your request, as it were. You have to ask. To ask for that. You know, somebody can't come and slap you on the head and make you have it. You know, somebody can't, you know, put oil on you and, you know, make you have it. Because if you don't want it, you just don't get it. You won't. But if you desire today, that impartation, and I know I know that we all know about receiving the Holy Ghost. We all know, right? But see, I know something different. I know that we all receive in part. We receive a little bit. We receive in part. And I also know that we can receive a greater measure. Greater measure. How do I know that? Because in John 3:34, the Bible tells me that Jesus did not have the Holy Spirit in a measure. He said God gave him not the Holy Spirit by measure. You know what that taught me? That there are measures. And guess what? I want a greater one.
Amen.
What about you?
Amen.
What about you?
Amen.
With a greater measure. Right? A greater measure. I want more. Because I can see some areas in my life. Just me now. I'm just talking about just me. I can see some areas in my life where I haven't truly accomplished. I want more. I see the gap, I see the gap. You see the gap? I mean, I know you can see mine, but I mean, I know that it's easy to see another person's gaps. He walked right past me and didn't even speak. It's easy to see. You know what I'm saying? It's easy. It's easy to see other people's gaps. My question to you is, do you see your own areas where you need an impartation? Gotta see your own. Now, it's true that we have responsibility to help each other and to, help people get saved and help them, But if you don't have it, you really don't have anything to give. And that's what Paul was doing. Paul was going around thinking he was serving God and he was trying to mess up the thing God was trying to do. And that's what we do when we don't have that divine nature working in measure inside of us. Gotta have it. Called the impartation of the Holy Ghost. I want a greater measure. I want to allow, if you're saved, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you received the new birth. And what I'm talking about is the impartation of the Holy Ghost. In some ways, it is an explosion of the Holy Ghost from the inside out. Because when you got saved, you really got everything God has for you. But if you know anything, that you could have a bank account and be poor. The man was a millionaire living underneath a bridge. He had a bank account, he just didn't
exercise.
So you got bank. You got bank. And what we're talking about now is giving God permission. To allow His Spirit to flow through. To allow His Spirit the opportunity to manifest in your life, in your nature. Anybody want that? Anybody? Anybody? I see lots of hands. I see hands. Amen. Thank you, children. Thank you, young men. Thank you. Young ladies, I see it. God sees your hands. God sees your hands. Just raise your hands. That's what you want. Raise your hands. That's what you want. Raise your hands. God recognizes hands. This is a sign of your desire for the thing that God, one of the things that God recognizes is that your obedience through His word that's coming through right now. Word's coming through. You desire the thing of God to manifest. I'm talking about manifesting in you, through you, out of you, in motivation. Holy Spirit, fall. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, the power of His resurrection, the power of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by command of the Father God, all of those that desire greater measure, Lord God, we ask for your impartation right now. Our desire, Lord God, is to see your Spirit moving deeply in the inside of us, oh God, and kind of exploding out of us and coming out in newness of life. Thank you, Lord God, that we be moved not by the flesh, but by the Spirit of God, deep inside of our hearts, deep inside of our motivation, causing us to walk in newness of life. Let your power, Lord God, be made manifest in hearts and souls and lives, Lord God. Changing our thinking, oh God. Changing our doing, oh God. That it be motivated by love. That it be motivated by your Spirit, oh God. And that it be motivated by your power. Help us to learn to love. Help us to in the area of forgiveness, oh God. Help us in the area of repentance, Lord God. Open our eyes, oh God, that we might see the things you're trying to say to us. Lord, I pray for that special anointing upon your young people here, Lord God. Those young people within the sound of my voice right now, here in this room and beyond. Even those that might listen on the internet, Lord God, or by CD, or by some other methodology, Lord God, I pray for your power, the impartation, Lord God, of your power in the inner inside parts, Lord, that your truth may come out. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And in closing, I want to read from the book of Romans. And I'm going to read chapter 8. Which is the chapter that comes right after the question. What's going on with me? Why can't I do right? That's what chapter 7 says. Why can't I do right? And chapter 8 answers that question right now. And this is the impartation. Recognize this is the impartation you just received. Amen?
Amen.
This is what you just received.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to read it. You can follow me. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version, and you can follow me as I read. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to stop there. Now, here is my expectation for you, and I want you to have it too. Here is my expectation for you. You just received an impartation. You received it by faith. You know that, right?
Amen.
You just received an impartation, because the Bible tells us very clearly that if you ask for the Holy Ghost, then God would give it. So I just interpret the same way, that if I ask for more, then he'll give me more.
Amen.
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 And so consequently, your expectation must be that the divine nature has come upon you in a greater way.
Amen.
So don't be surprised when somebody steps on your toe this time, you don't jump out and push them over. Don't be surprised. Okay. Don't be surprised if something happens that used to just get right on your nerves. What comes out of your mouth is, it's okay, don't worry about it. Don't be surprised. Okay. That's my expectation. Okay. That the divine nature has been imparted unto you.
Thank you.
Okay. So watch out for opportunities to let him come out.
Amen.
The Spirit of God is alive inside of you.
Amen.
And he wants to work. Don't be surprised if somebody needs salvation and you just walk right up to them and start talking to them and offering them salvation. Don't be surprised. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for your word today, Lord God. I thank you that your word ministers life, O God. It's life unto those that find them, and health so even to their flesh. Thank you for your word, and thank you for your spirit, O God, because your spirit is also life unto us, O God. Thank you that you've ministered that life unto us, O God. We receive it, Lord, in the deepest parts of our nature to cleanse us, to purge us, to wash us, O God, by your Spirit. We can do it, Lord God. We can do it, whatever the it is for us, by your Spirit, and only by your Spirit. Only by your Spirit, Lord.
Thank you.
We receive your Spirit in a greater way today. Lord, let it be shown and known in us and through us. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless each and every one of you. Amen. I can't wait to see the divine nature shining, shining out of you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.